Hello guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to the AO Preview Pod, first Grand Slam of the year.
AO 2026.
AO 2026. I'm going to say this is the first time I'm actually really excited for the Australian Open. Australian Open, I'll give you your props. I'm not going to lie. The fan week has been great, building up to the Australian Open, the other tournaments, Brisbane, Adelaide, and so on, have been great. A lot of players that I did not think will make it as far in the other tournaments are doing great. So it's quite fun. Like, normally I show up and I'm like, all right, who's got time to be staying up for these matches? So, you know what, Craig?
You're looking forward to it.
This might be the first time, Eugene, in a very long time, since that 2017? With obviously Serena, Venus's final and Roger Federer and Nadal's final. So, yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute since I enjoyed it. But what about you?
No, I always weirdly look forward to it, even though, like I said, it's going to wreck our like sleeping pattern.
And listen.
At this point, like we're pretty much used to it.
Yeah.
And like you said, all the kind of like lead up events, they've all been good.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the 1 point slam, I didn't stay up to watch it. I'd admit that, but
it was early morning though. But yeah, you sleep late, so yeah.
Seeing all like the reaction and stuff, and like obviously like this, well, an amateur winning,
yeah,
throws, like it was cool. So
yeah, it really is. It really is. Before we go through AO, obviously, we actually have a final. By the time this recording will be out, I think, actually, no, it should be out today. So yeah, we'll be waiting for the final. Our girl, Victoria Moboko, against Mira Andreeva. I am so looking forward to this. I even told Eugene that, you know what, I might have an early one so I can nap and wake up at 2 a.m. to watch that match. Victoria had such a great run. She most of her matches, except for her semi-final, were all three sets. So the first one was against Haddad Maia, Brazilian. Second match was against Anna Kalinskaya. And then quarterfinals was actually against our girl Madison Keys, the second seed. And that went into three sets. Very competitive match, was pretty good. And then straight sets against Burrell, 6-2, 6-1. And now she will be facing Mira Andreeva. I read a quick article where Mira was saying that she's actually familiar with Moboko. Like they've actually played together since she was at 12 or something. So similar age, but it, obviously both very different. You know, Mira already has 2 1,000 titles. I think she also has a 250. I think a 500 is actually the only one that she doesn't have. So this will be like her first 500 title for her. You know, so as I'm saying all of that, you can tell that she's definitely more experienced. But Victoria, my girl, I don't know what it is with this with this young girl, but she's killing it. That serve, that backhand, everything. For me, she's just an all-round player. She's just doing so well at the moment. And I had her, after beating Keys, I was like, okay, I can see her going far into this. So I actually do have her winning this match, winning this title. What do you think, Eugene?
Yeah, judging by how she played yesterday, because I did watch the a semi-final against Kimberly Burrell, and yeah, she was outstanding, man. Like you said before, like every single match, to be fair, every match she's played, or every match she played up until that point this year was a three-set match. So she played two matches at the United Cup. They were both three-setters. She won one, lost one. And then obviously her run here, like you said, leading up to leading up to the final, they were all three setters, and then the semi-final was a straight sets win. But yeah, she just looks so good. I am slightly worried though, just about the knee, like because she's got like heavy strapping on that right knee.
Yes, yeah.
I know that was giving her problems last year, and like it's just never. I don't think it's ever like a good thing really to see like when a player has like such blatant kind of strapping like on their body, any part of their body.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly she's moving well. Like, she did say after the match yesterday that she was a bit tired. So, obviously she's played a lot of tennis, like, in a short period of time. But yeah, I mean, going into that final, obviously, Andreeva's the favorite, being the, I think she's the third seed, and Boko's the eighth seed. So,
yeah.
And like you said, she has more experience in terms of, like, just kind of being, playing at the top level, like, for a time. But they are similar age, so.
Exactly.
It's really anyone's match.
Anyone.
I do kind of make, before, it's funny, I kind of said to you all, like, Andreeva's going to be probably the one to win, but off the back of the way Mboka played that semi-final, I can kind of make her the favorite. I also thought as well, like, there's less pressure on her because she's not as highly seeded or ranked as Andreeva. So that might also play into it. So we'll see, but it's going to be very exciting.
It's going to be exciting. I just like seeing like all these young girls doing their thing. Yeah, very, very exciting.
They're here.
They are, listen, they're not even crying right now. Like, they're here. They're here. The WTA at the moment, I was guest podding on Grandpa, shout out to Grandpa's podcast, and I was literally saying, because I think Nick was saying how basically, like, you know, no one's talking about the other, like, the slightly lower ranked players or younger players that are like moving up quick in the rankings and going like deep. And I was basically saying, I don't think it's a thing where people do not care. It's just that we can't even keep up at the moment. Like, there's so many. Like, if you look at alone the top eight seed for the WTA, you're like, this is stacked. This is like busy. And that's just the eight. I feel like the whole top 20 of the WTA right now is competitive, like, it is no game. So yeah, looking forward to that final. I know some of you guys won't be able to watch it. Who knows, I'm here chatting, I might not be able to watch it myself. I might fall asleep at 2 a.m. but luckily, because it's a Friday, fingers crossed I can make it. But yeah, let's get into the real deal. So Yuji, normally I notice we always start with the women's draw. Let's switch up a little bit. Yeah, we actually do. Obviously, women's first, ladies first. Women, we rule the world. But I was like, okay, you know, let's switch up a little bit today. Let's start with the men's. How about we do that? Yeah?
Let's go.
All right, boom. We've got the seventh seed, Félix Auger-Aliassime. He is opening against Nuno Borges. Borges. They actually did play against each other last year in Dubai. Obviously, was Dubai the title that he won, or he reached the final?
I think he reached the final.
Against Tsitsipas, yes. And obviously, Félix won that in three sets. But yeah, obviously, as we know, Félix had an amazing end of year season. That's his time. End of year is when Félix, you know, it was a little bit earlier this time. Because this time it was from the Australian Open, where he made it all the way to US Open.
Australian Open on the mind.
And like, and lost to Sinner, crazy match. But yeah, looking very, I'm hoping this time, I mean, again, last year anyway, beginning of the year, he really did play well as well. So I'm hoping he goes, you know, pretty deep. He is on Alcaraz quarter, so a potential semi-final. So can you imagine two Grand Slams where you could reach, you know, potentially reach one of them. But yeah, how do you feel about Félix?
Yeah, I like it. I think that opening round is actually quite a good one for him. Like you said, like, it's a nice player to kind of like ease into.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Félix being the seventh seed this year. Like, I think last year he did lose. Did he lose opening round last year, I think? Record. Should have been. Yeah,
I can't remember the top of my head, but go on. I'll check.
I'm pretty sure he had an early exit last year. But like you said, he finished strong in 2025. Obviously, ATP Tour Finals as well. This year started at the...
Oh, yes. Sorry. So he lost to... Oh, yes. That crazy match against Fokina. The five-setter. And then they stopped the match and started it again. Because of the noise. That was second round. Yes.
Yeah, the exit.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Strong finish through 2025. And yeah, it started this season at the United Cup. I think he won one match, lost one with Team Canada. And then from there, went straight to Melbourne. And it's funny as well, I do find it interesting how certain players, well, the top players anyway, a lot of them now are starting to like either just play one event or not play any events at all and just basically make the Australian Open the first tournament of the year.
Do you feel like that's risky? Do you feel like that's
a little bit, but at the same time, I kind of respect it because it's like obviously they've kind of put a lot of work in during the off season. But they feel confident enough in their game to say, "Yeah, I'm going to make Australian Open like be the first tournament to like kick off the year."
Yeah.
So I do think like players kind of it varies. So I don't think there's like a kind of routine pattern that they follow year on year. I think it probably changes like depending on just how they're feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for Felix, like I think he's in a very good spot. And I'm gonna say he's gonna go deep. He's going deep this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel it.
Okay. Well, we'll see how he plays. I'm really looking forward to him. I feel like a lot of his matches, Grand Slam's always like long sets as well. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Hi guys, this is just a quick break. If you are enjoying our show and our podcast, please make sure to leave a review and rate our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other DSPs. This will help us to reach a wider audience just like you and get a lot more listeners so we can keep on building our community and give you these great podcasts as well.
And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe.
And as you can see here, our beautiful merch. Make sure you go on Black Spin Global Podcast to cop our merch. This actually helps us fund this platform to keep on giving you these podcasts and most importantly, to attend to the tournaments. And now we'll head back to the show. Thank you again for listening and tuning in.
Eighth seed, Ben Shelton. And he has a very interesting first round against Hugo Humbert, who is currently playing about to play his final in Adelaide, I believe. Surprisingly, Eugene, these two has actually never played against each other, which I was... For some reason, I generally thought they already have. He even has a... before I get back to Hugo, he also potentially have a round two against Monfils again. I think last year they played, was it round three actually or something like that?
Yes.
Yes. I feel like this is one of like a blockbuster round one, to be honest. The fact that they never played against each other. Hugo, I would say he's been a bit up and down. I was surprised to see that he was not seeded for the Australian Open, considering how he was before. But as I said, he's currently in the final right now before coming to the Australian Open. So the other reason why I'm really interested as well is because, you know, Shelton, we know that he's a great server, amazing server, powerful hitting as well, while you have Hugo, who's actually a great returner too. So yeah, how do you think that round is going to go, and how do you think Shelton's path is going to go?
For me, that's an ugly draw.
Really?
Yeah, like to start against, well, like you said, Hugo Humbert is not seeded. Like he definitely should be seeded.
On paper, for sure.
Fellow lefty as well. Obviously, Shelton's candid.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would also kind of give him a different look because obviously he's used to playing a lot of right-handers on tour. It's not a good draw for Ben, but then at the same time, and Ben, he started his season in Auckland, which he usually does. Lose in the quarterfinals to Sebastian Baez.
Quarterfinals or semis?
Quarters.
Oh, okay, I thought it was semis.
Auckland this year was really weird because, well, for the men anyway, the weather was so bad. So
Just
had kind of got carried over, like, well, held overnight
because of
the rain and stuff. So we'll get onto him later on as well. Giovanni Petripericard, he was also playing in Auckland, ended up losing in the quarterfinal too. But yeah, I think just for Shelton, obviously we're talking about Shelton now. It's not a good draw, but then at the same time, he tends to go deep in Australia.
So, semi-finals last year.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of where he... Even before the US Open, the Australian Open was kind of his breakthrough.
Exactly.
So clearly he likes the conditions. But yeah, I do think that opening round is tough. I expect him to get through, but I would not be surprised if it's like a five-setter. Like, yeah, it's going to be a grind. like you said, Humbert too, he's in a final now. And
exactly.
So
exactly.
Clearly he's playing well, like he's feeling himself.
Yeah, exactly. I think though, because of his record at Grand Slams, I think that's why I'm not too worried personally. I just feel like Shelton is just a different beast when he comes to Grand Slams. It's just something that just wakes him up. And we've seen the result that has shown that the only thing that has stopped him, which has stopped most of the guys, Sin Caras. Literally, that's literally what it is. But that also can be why he could have a lot of, he could feel a lot of pressure or like expectations to be high. Unless he doesn't feel that way anyways. But yeah, but very, I hope that round one is not going to be at silly times, because I definitely want to catch that. I hope it's going to be a late match so we can watch it early morning. Well, I can watch it early morning because you might be sleeping since you're a night owl.
No, but I'm going to be doing all-nighters. Giving myself up.
Yeah. But yeah, and also, again, Novak or Sinner for potential semi-finals. Obviously, I personally don't like to look that far, but, you know, we have to, you know, tennis, our sport. People like to do it, so we got to do it. Gosh. Up next, another American, Francis Tiafoe, 29, opening against the qualifier, Jason Kubler. Should be an easy win. He could potentially face Alex de Minaur on round three. Again, as we said at last pod, he actually did play at Brisbane. He lost to the champion, Medvedev. But yeah, TFO, what do you think?
Right, again, it's a good draw.
He has a good draw.
Kubler is Australian too, so the crowd are going to be
100%
on his side. But
yeah,
obviously TFO is very, very popular, like wherever he goes. So I think that's going to be a fever way. That's going to be a match that's going to be like played in front of like a packed stadium, whichever court it's on. But I think, yeah, good draw for Francis. Like you said, started the season in Brisbane, did lose to the eventual champion,
yeah,
Dino Medvedev. And yeah, he's in a different spot this year. Like he's the 29th seed, like he's kind of way outside the top
20. Yeah.
Which is fairly new ground for him.
Yep, well, yep, yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, for sure. It was weird when I was writing that. I was like, wow, 29th. Yeah. Like,
but
yeah.
I also think, Lucy, like this year, we're going to see a big change in like just the way he approaches like his matches and just his whole kind of just mentality, because he's basically looking to get back to where he was. And that is literally well inside the top 20, knocking on the door of the top 10. And he's more capable of doing that. So I kind of feel like I'm optimistic about TFO this year, like overall, because I feel like he's like just has a different type of focus. And I feel like we're going to see some really good results or big results for him just basically throughout the year. Like, and I feel like, yeah, Australian Open again, he's gone deep in the past.
Yeah.
He'll be turning 20.
Oh, yeah. 28 or 29. One of them.
28.
Okay.
So again, it's like, yeah, new year, new foe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he hasn't made past the second round in a minute. I think the last time he made it to the second week was at 2019. So yeah, it's been a little bit of a while, but considering the draw that he has, I hope that he can make it soon. I feel like that will give him the boost as well, and the motivation to have a very, very good start. Because last year, the start was not that great. I feel like clay season as well picked up surprisingly. Massive. When I'm saying surprisingly, because it's like, wow, out everything. Clay, do you get what I mean? But I mean, he doesn't have a title on clay, but still. But yeah, looking forward to Francis. Up next, the one and only, the GOAT, who's having his last AO of his career, Gael Monfils. He opens against qualifier Dane Sweeney. I have zero expectations, man. He said it to us last year, listen, hey, I'm not here to come and win or something. I'm here to play. I have a great life. I got a wife that loves me. I got a beautiful daughter. I got money. I'm entertained. I'm entertaining you. And I'm knocking these little kids out of the Australian Open. I'm living life. So, Gael Monfils, I expect the same thing for you to enjoy. So instead of us talking about his actual path and blah, blah, although, like we said earlier, he might be facing Shelton again like last year. Hopefully, Australian Open broadcasters, we're not going to come and have the could be your dad comment. Okay. All right. Keep that to yourself or don't just say it at all.
Stop it.
Please. Do you have any favorite Northeast moment that happened in AO, if you could remember? I know the most recent one we all love, which is him knocking Fritz out of AO last year. I feel like that was really cool.
Not
AO specifically.
Yeah, I mean, you put it in the notes, but like, yeah, the picture that legendary of him diving the diving shot.
That diving shot in 2016. It was. I mean, he did a few in his career. But that 2016 one was crazy. It was
like, what are you doing?
What? Who does that? All the hardcore. Like, it's never been that deep. But it just shows to you how much he was willing to go for that match and how great it is to watch Monfils play. Guys, I know in this economy it's hard, but if Gary Monfils is in your city, please go and watch this man. Enjoy it. Like, he's worth watching, and we're going to miss this a lot. There's a reason why his video shots are still making crazy amount of views online today. Like, people will be sending it to me. Like, my friends that don't watch tennis will be sending it to me. Like, oh, look, this is mad sick. They don't know nothing about tennis. They don't know if the ball went in or out, if it was a serve or forehand, but they've seen it. They're like, this actually looks cool. So, yeah, so shout out to...
I'm looking forward to seeing what like the Australian Open do after whichever round he does end up losing in, like, because I'm sure there'll be some kind of presentation.
Yeah.
Even in Auckland, where he started a season, he did lose in the first. Well, he lost his opening match in Auckland too.
Yes, he did.
Because obviously he is the defending champion as well. He won that title last year, if you remember. But yeah, they had like a big kind of ceremony. Like, there was a presentation. Even though he lost, and it was nice, like, just to, like, kind of give him a send off. So I guess he needs to expect that literally every event he plays this year, because it's his final one. So
for sure.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing Gary.
You tournament better put some respect on Gary Monfils and do a little something, because I know for a fact some of y'all take a soul because of Gary. So don't come in and just say bye. No, full on presentation. Nice. All right, put some respect on the boat. All right, the next Frenchman. Giovanni Pichy-Péricard, he is actually playing against Baez, who's currently going through the semifinals or final, you said. Another one where I was surprised to find out they haven't played against each other. But Baez is playing really well. He has a good momentum at the moment as well.
Beat Shelton in Auckland.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's playing good. Péricard could potentially face Karen Khachanov. Khachanov is always, you know what, you're another one. You're just like Medvedev, always facing black players. They're starting up.
Always going deep at the slam.
Always is enough. They did play against each other, Karen and Giovanni, in 2024, the Rolex Paris Masters. Karen won in 3 sets. Pichy-Péricard did lose to Menchik, unfortunately, just recently in quarterfinals. But he also reached the quarterfinals in Brisbane. So, yeah, he's having a better start of the season compared to last year. So I really hope this keeps up, because, yeah, I feel like last year was rocky, but I wasn't too worried again. I think people forget that Pichy-Péricard, as he came from doing nothing but challenger events. And I think last year was that, what, his second proper ATP tour?
Solely played
in ATP. So that's why I wasn't too worried. But I feel like I'm hoping... From the look of the way this has started, I know it's quite early, but it seems like he's learned from before and trying to add in more varieties. I feel like he definitely has it in him to put in more varieties into his game and stuff. I know people just see him as a serve bot and whatnot, but considering that, I don't even care. Let him be a serve bot. You want to serve like him. At the end of the day, I said this to you guys before, you all want to serve like him, but... Either way, the way that he's built and everything that he has, he still moves. Like, he moves a lot for someone who is so tall and big.
He's a great athlete.
Like, I'm pretty sure people think this guy is 27. Nah, he is what, 19, 20, 20, something like that. And he is...
He's 22.
Oh, 22, yeah. But he still looks so much older considered because of the way that he's built himself. And considering how he's built, he's still able to move so well. Reminds me a little bit of like Serena. Like, people always talk about how, like, oh, the way that she is, it means that, you know, she's more powerful and blah, blah. And it's like, actually, the way that she's built should make it harder for her to be moving around. And she was moving better than a lot of you guys. Let's just say that. So, yeah, looking forward to Giovanni. Do you have anything to add regarding...
Yeah, I, like you say, he's had a good start this year. Two quarterfinals coming into the Australian Open. I feel like, again, he's still learning in terms of like developing. And I feel like, yeah, this year, from the, I have seen him play. I watched a bit of his Auckland run, to be fair. And I liked what I saw, Lucy. Like,
okay,
I feel like he's beginning to kind of just better understand his game and like where it is. There is more variety. Like, he's coming into the net a lot more, which again is a massive, massive plus, because with that massive serve, like, it's pretty much, that's like a kind of go-to tactic. Serve.
Yeah.
And within like, what, two hits. So I feel like he's going to try to implement that pretty much more throughout his game, like this season. And I think that's going to serve him pretty well. And I feel like, yeah, it's not going to be easy against Byers, because Byers has reached the final in Auckland. So
exactly, again, yeah. He's
basically a player in hot form. But I think both players will kind of fancy their chances going into that one. And
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if this is a long...
I agree.
Or five setter. So
I agree. I'm with you on that.
We'll see.
I'm with you on that. Last but not least, for us, we have Elias Immer. He got through qualifying, so shout out to him for that.
Superb.
Yep. And first round is against Alexander... Whoa, I should have let that for you.
No, it's Shevchenko.
Yes. You know what? I'm actually... Okay, so I, let me tell you something. I'm actually starting to get a little bit better at it, because now that I do the TikTok videos, I have to practice. So what I do, I'll go on the WTO ATP website and I keep on listening. But when I'm doing a rundown, because I'm writing so many names, it's like, I can't really. So guys, bear with me. Yeah, I'll get there. And if you've been listening for a while, I know deep down you're saying to yourself, you know what, Lucy, you've improved a little bit. So keep it close. So... yeah, shout out to Elias Immer.
Just on Elias, though, again, in qualifying, he beat Coleman Wong, who's like kind of the player in hot form.
Okay, that's cool.
At the moment. So it's a really, really good, it's a big look. And yeah, I feel like whenever players come through qualifying, they've got three matches behind them. So
yeah, you always say it.
They're coming in hot.
Yeah.
Shevchenko obviously is a good player, established top 100 player, but it's a good draw for Immer. If he can find a way, like, just kind of stay with it, like, he can potentially, get through to the second round, make a run. So
for sure. We'll see. But yeah, to close out on the men's draw, I will say there are some other blockbuster round one, Alex de Minaur and Matteo Berrettini, and Hur Cass and versus Bergs. And Hubie, I don't know what weights you've been lifting, but boy, have you seen him? My guy is whamped. Whamped. And on top of that, he's playing some fantastic tennis. Hubie, I did not realize that I actually missed you, but the way that you are moving right now and coming in with bare muscles and new tactics, we respect it. Shout out to you.
Top 10 player. Like, he's,
Yeah, I feel like he's giving me the vibe of like he really took his time to come back. He didn't want to rush. You can tell, which I really respect.
Not to kind of take away from him, but for me that bodes well for players like Arthur Fils, Runa, like guys that have had serious injuries, like and been out for a sustained amount of time. Look at Hubert Hurkacz, like he's come back. He looks better than before. So
yeah. Yeah.
Reasons to be optimistic.
For sure. All right. Let's move to the ladies. Ladies. All right. Whew, it's looking stacked, my boy. Like the WTA, this Australian Open. Man, spooky. Let's start up.
I you've got Coco Gauff. Like, you literally got a whole run. Like,
I know. Hey, listen. our queen, our one and only. But to be honest, actually, you have to shout out to people who tweet the paths. You guys actually make my job easier when I need to write down the notes and stuff instead of going through everything else. But yeah, so Coco Gauff, third seed. She is opening against Rakimova. As if we could potentially have Venus Williams again, round two. I knew the second Venus said, "I'm coming back," I was like, "Craig, I know what you're gonna do. I know what you're gonna do. We've been here before, but it's all right. You know, you guys know how I feel about draws, and I'm not gonna repeat myself." But yeah, her entire path, to be honest, I'm hearing mixed reviews. Some people say it's tough, some people say it's not. Me personally, you know, the only one where I'm actually really excited for potential is round four, Ayala.
Okay, yeah.
Philippine. I like seeing the young girls playing against each other. But
they've been practicing as well.
Yeah, yeah. And they played doubles together, right, last year?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they played doubles together, right, last year. The reason why I just find it exciting when it's like the younger WTA players playing against each other, but most importantly, when it's against Coco, I like it because I feel like people really underestimate the level of difference between Coco and her age mates. Like, honestly speaking, like the level Coco where she is, if you look at her competitors, they all mad older than her. And when I'm talking about direct competitors, I'm talking about business-wise. I'm not talking about just, you know, age and whatnot. Everyone else is really younger than her. Like, people start to get scared. And I'm like, you guys are not realizing she's not really the same. But I'll be looking forward to that type of match. But her draw overall, how do you feel? What's your prediction? How do you feel about Coco for the Australian?
Just on your point about the age, it's a great point because, again, we do, obviously, we celebrate her a lot on this platform, rightly so, but I think people do take her granted. People take her age for granted in terms of how young she is and, like, what she's achieved. And like you said, her competitors are, like, a good few years older than her in terms of, like, her kind of main rivals. So it's kind of rare, which is very well, it is rare that she plays someone literally her age or younger. And that the pressure there as well is like that kind of we do maybe not understand like how that might kind of affect a match and going into the match and like the expectation and pressure that brings like on her. Mm-hmm. So obviously she's able to kind of manage and deal with that, or she has been able to manage and deal with that like pretty well throughout her career, which is again major credit to her. But just on her path, Lucy, I hate looking ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
We do. Us at BSG, we don't. We just do it because we gotta do it.
Like, there could be an upset in the first round. This
exactly.
Blown out. So
100%.
But in terms of like, yeah, we're just looking at the kind of potential path. Like, it's a pretty good draw. Things definitely get up. To be fair, she did lose to Buzas Monero at the United Cup, and she could potentially play her in the third round.
True.
Could be a match to look out for.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Vondrousova too.
Yeah.
Potential third round. That's a Grand Slam champion there. So, but I think overall, like, she'll probably be happy with like the section she's in.
Yeah.
She won't meet Sabalenka until the semi-finals. So, again, I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. But yeah, I feel good about Coco, as usual,
yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, she's playing some good ball. She played well.
She is. Yep, yep.
Tends to do well as well, like in Australia. So
Yeah. Looking forward for the fit too. Obviously, her Australian Open fit last year was my favourite. We saw some sneaks from like New Balance. I think it's like a yellow type of thing, but it looks really nice. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the fit. Shout out to New Balance. Up next, the Queen of Italy, Jasmine Paolini, is back. She is opening against a qualifier,
Alexandra Šašlević.
Yes, thank you. Her path, she doesn't look that bad. I'm interested to see how she played, mainly because I feel like this was like her longest tennis break in a while. So she hasn't played since the WTA finals. So since like what, October?
No.
She played United Cup. She played United Cup. But okay, she played United Cup. Cool. Yeah. But yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so interested to see, because even when she got to the WTA finals, remember she was ill and stuff. And United Cup, she only won one match, right?
Yeah, 1-1.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she lost to Bencic. She was like the
probably the most important player right now.
Like, I don't know what it is. That baby did something to Bencic, but it locked her in like crazy. A little bit like Musetti after he had his child. He's like, all right, cool, let me start going deep. But yeah, last year she made it all the way to the third round. How do you think she's going to play this year?
Yeah, again, I'm always, I say, amazed. Like, I'm not as like shocked anymore. Like, how did he make like deep runs? Yeah. But yes, that's the bitch. It won't be easy. Again, a qualifier coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah. Has played three matches, like you said.
Exactly. But I feel like Paolini now, she's at a level where, again, she's able to like manage a match and like she knows how to kind of just get through the round. So yeah, I'm expecting another like second week run from Paolini.
Mm-hmm.
And again, once she reached the second week, like anything could happen, because we'll see how kind of players are feeling and like, you know, it's easy to kind of, I say it's easy, it's not easy, but it's difficult really to kind of predict that far ahead. But at the same time, I think for certain players, you can say you can book them in for the second week. And I feel like Paolini now, she's kind of in that category. So expecting a second week one, from Jasmine Paolini, the 17th.
For sure. I'm with you on that. Up next, Madison Keys, 9th seed, defending champion. I'm going to put you on the spot and I want to just answer yes or no. Don't give me a long explanation like you did with Coco last time. Get straight to it. Do you think that Madison Keys would defend her AO title? Yes or no? 3, 2, 1.
I don't think she will. I don't think she will.
Why? Explain yourself.
It's not a bad thing as well.
I agree.
I just think. I think the girls are just so good, man. Honestly,
it's that simple.
The girls are so good. Like, and I'm not taking anything away. Like, no one can take away what happened last year, and I love that for
exactly, months. Exactly.
And again, she played in. Well, she got knocked out in Adelaide by
Victoria Mboko.
So, and she was the defending champion as well.
Yeah.
Someone in the comments said, Mboko, she ate her up.
I remember I saw that.
But again, Lucy, again, like I said, the level now, man, like these girls, like it's just a different level. And I feel like Keys, of course, she's been playing well as well. Like she looked good in Adelaide. And like you said, Grand Slams, players do tend to kind of up their level.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, it's not going to be...
It's not going to be as easy.
It wasn't smooth last year, but yeah.
It's just different. I'm with you. And Percy, I don't even think a lot of people are having the highest expectations, not because of the fact that they don't think that Keys can't do it, but I think, just like you said, the WTA is stacked, man. Like, it's absolutely... Listen, if you are not watching women's tennis right now, you are missing. I don't think you understand. You are actually playing yourself. The ATP, great, but the WTA right now, look at that 8th seed and come back to me and tell me, you know what, Lucy, you might be right. But honestly, I'm with you. And I always say, once you win a slam, you can't tell that player nothing. Like, it doesn't matter how. I don't care if it's Raducanu, I don't care if it's Stevens, I don't care if it's Keys, I don't care who you mention. It does not matter. You still can't take that slam away from them. And Keys had a remarkable run. She gave it some fantastic matches, and that's the thing as well. It wasn't like an easy win anyway. So yeah, it is what it is. I think because of some of the way her season went after the Australian Open, it was a bit up and down. She had some injuries and everything and whatnot. I basically hope she doesn't go into this and think too much or put too much pressure on herself. I hope she doesn't. And just enjoy the process. If you don't defend your title, yeah, it's going to suck. You're going to lose your points. People are going to chat. But where is that trophy? In Florida, where's that Australian Open check that you got cleared in your bank account? Who cares? It is what it is. So, yeah, shout out to Keys. Looking forward to her playing. Up next, we have 2 times AO champion, the Japanese, one and only Naomi Osaka, 16th seed. Incredible, 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 incredible.
Woke up, boy.
First round against Rusic. Okay, yeah. Osaka's perhaps not looking too bad, you know. It does get a little bit tricky from round 4, but again, that's just how it is with every Grand Slam. She played a United Cup as well. She won one match.
Won one, lost one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like till she gets to the fourth round, the third round... that's why I said third round, yeah. Actually, that's why I went back. Like, third round could be a bit tricky, actually. Let me take that back. But... Osaka, for me, I don't really have... Actually, this is how I feel. I don't have expectation for the Australian Open for Osaka, but I have expectation for the rest of the season. This is the season for me. Naomi Osaka needs to show me out. I feel like last year we had a great momentum. You know, she changed up herself. She did some things different. But for me, I feel like this is the year for me as a fan, not me personally. I'm not saying for like the tennis or for whatever, but for me, it's like, all right, girl, you got to show me something.
You want a title.
My expectations are extremely high. I want her in the title. It doesn't have to be a Grand Slam, but it has to be a title. And I think she can definitely do it. She was in a final last year. She made it so far at the US Open. Hard court is a thing.
She did win a title last year.
She won a title. And that's what I'm saying. All of these things that happened last year is why this year we need to convert it into something. We need to up it. I don't want it to be the same level. I feel like since she's been back, it's been like this, but not at a pace that we would have wanted. And that's fine. We're not the one out of the court. You are. You do what you got to do. It is where it is. Your time will come. Because again, she's a full-time Grand Slam champion. She's done it before. She can do it again. But I, as a Naomi Osaka fan, and you guys know I don't put a lot of pressure, but when I start putting pressure, it's like, "Ay, girl, you just got to show me something." So yeah, how do you feel?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think her being a 2-time Australian Open champion too, like she knows how to play down under.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
In terms of like looking at her draw and like potential path, I feel like, yeah, she's also the type of player. She's a Grand Slam champ, 4-time Grand Slam champion. Like she's definitely going to be putting pressure on herself. But at the same time, like, I feel like she almost expects like a high level because of the type of player she is and like the personality she is as well. So even though, and like we said, it's a big thing, like it's a big feat being seeded, the 16th seed. She had a very good like end of the year, like obviously reaching the US Open semi-final last year. She finished the year pretty strongly. So I think she's looking to start this year equally as strong.
Yeah.
I can see her like, yeah, making noise. I'm not going to say she's going to win it. Okay. But again, I wouldn't be surprised, Lucy, if she is like in the semi-finals, even a final. Like,
honestly. Yeah. Okay.
I think you can't underestimate how much of a big deal it is, the fact that she's won it twice. So, okay. And I just feel like, yeah, that's going to play into kind of where or how she plays this year.
Okay.
And like just her kind of expectations as well, like going into this year, like you said, she's going to be expecting and wanting more for it. Obviously she switched things up as well, the coach last year now. Like she's
got,
That does look good. Like,
and switched up the team. I feel she's and switched up her environment, you know. I know for some people the things just agents, like the team are with her 24/7, so the environment has changed. And I think that will make her focus a lot more on the tennis too. Because one thing that I actually did not say, I don't think I even said this to you even privately, but one thing that the reason why I wasn't too surprised when they found out that she split from her agency, when she released the 2B documentary, Osaka didn't really talk about it. She didn't really touch on it. And I, like, if I didn't ask her about it at a press at US Open. I'll for sure read it. So even that, it was just like a quick answer. Even on social, there wasn't really much. So I don't know, maybe she wants to do less things, just solely focus on the tennis, focus more on her family and everything, you know. She has more than enough money to feed her and her family for like she can retire today and she's good. Like
she's back now with IMG, innit?
She's back with IMG, you know, exactly.
That's a good point, you know. I think maybe now she is probably just looking to just focus on, just play it.
Exactly. I mean, you guys were always saying, why is she doing this? Why is she doing fashion? Oh, she's meant to be playing the court. And, you know, maybe she actually listened. Maybe she's like, you know what? Let me actually focus a lot more on the tennis and stuff and not the other things. I know people think that she maybe only left because of the whole battle of sexes thing. But I think it has to do with maybe her just not wanting to do all the extra stuff that she has to do to put money in a bank. And maybe there's some people, they're more than happy with what they have. Do you get what I mean?
Exactly.
Content and stuff. But yeah, again, we'll see how she goes. I hope she makes it a second week out of the Grand Slam. Like that would be, for me, if she makes second week, I'll be happy because I can't, because again, with how competitive WTA is, I have a hard time seeing with her lifting that title. But if she makes it second week, more than happy with that. Yeah, I'll say that. Up next, we have Victoria Mobuko, 17th seed. I cannot believe. I can't believe I'm saying this. Eugene, I actually can't believe. When I was like, what do you mean she's seeded already?
And it's her debut.
What were you actually talking about? God damn. Anyways, you see, this is what I'm saying, guys. Again, if you're not watching women's tennis, what can I say?
It's nuts.
First round is against a wild card, Emerson Jones.
Australian.
Home favorite. And I'm going to skip all the way to the potential round four, guys.
Wait. So Clara Towson, you don't think that's going to be Tom? Potentially.
No.
Wow, okay.
No. Unless that leg is doing something, yeah.
Okay.
Listen, Clara, thank you very much for your services, but I'm going to need to step aside a little bit. I need me that round four. I need me Victoria Mobuko and Irina Sabalenka. Even if she does not win the match, me there. Urgent, pronto, today, okay? Listen, even the Sabalenka fans were a bit like, Mobuko. But some were like, you know, some made jokes and they were like, nah, with a leg, nah, we're good. Guys, I know sometimes injury can play up, but the thing is about Mobuko, she is a fighter. She's a fighter. And the reason, a proper competitor, which is another reason I want to see them play against each other so bad, they're both powerful hitters. So Sabalenka is going to be looking at herself in the mirror. It's going to be that Spider-Man meme a little bit. I'm telling you, it's going to be serious. Tennis gods, Craig, and everybody, make that round four happen for us. It would just be great for tennis. It would just be great for tennis. But yeah, looking forward to Mboko. Obviously, we've spoken about her earlier. But yeah, I think this would be a really, really good look for her. Yeah, really excited. Next, Hayley Baptiste. She is opening against Ron Drusova. I'm not gonna lie, Hayley Baptiste here has been getting the maddest of draws. But do you know who we said this about before? Jasmine Paolini. And then what happened? She did great. So just trust the process. I hope Hayley Baptiste just keeps on going through. She hasn't made it past the second round since 2022 as well. So yeah, I really hope that she can fight through this opening round. Another tough opening round, Alicia Parks against Ayala. Huh. God, what are you doing to me? It's crazy. And then, this isn't going to stop there, potential Mukova the next round. So, yeah. At least, if Parks loses, at least it means that we could have, I think we'd be very interested to see Ayala versus Mukova. But, yeah, I really wish Baptiste and Parks had easier opening rounds
as well, though, just quickly, she's had a tough start to the year, but yeah, this Australian Open is the first time she's in like directly through her rank.
That's true.
I know right now she is currently outside the top 100, just outside, but that's a big achievement. And again, I think I say expectations, like, there's people kind of, yeah, there is expectation in terms of like where her game could potentially be. So
yeah,
God willing, this is the year that she kind of has that breakthrough and just like sustains a level in terms of being like a top 100 player, because she's got the game.
For sure. Up next, we have Sloane Stephens, who got through qualifying. So happy for her. She didn't play as much last season. As you can see, you know, she had injury and stuff. Doing some commentating for TNT Sports, if you remember, for doing the French Open. She does have a very interesting opening round. Karina Pliskova, who's been trying to come back since her own injury. And I'm saying trying because she pulled out of both of Brisbane and Adelaide. So who knows? She might, you know, come Australian Open and not actually even be ready to come back yet as well. So we might have a free first opening round. Or maybe she actually, I don't think so, man. With the prize money going up, just what's that check? She's going to pick up that check.
Look out for Sloane as well. She's got a new racket sponsor. So formerly she was with Head.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's with Technofiber.
So, wow, very interesting.
Yeah.
This year, everyone's been switching. Like, it's been such a switch. Like, tennis is in such an exciting space right now. And my only hope is for the industry to take advantage of it. Like, all these brands coming in, all these players switching things up. Like, it's really fun. So, yeah, a lot of changes this season. Last but not least, the GOAT. Your GOAT's GOAT. The reason why the woman tennis is where it is. The reason why tennis is where it is, the one and only Venus Williams. I don't care if she hasn't won her opening round. She is the GOAT and the greatest of all times, period. She's opening against Olga Danilovic.
Danilovic, yeah.
Yes.
Serbian.
Yeah, like I said, she hasn't won any of her opening rounds. I think in singles anyways. I think, has she?
She did. Yeah, of course, she played in Auckland, but she took them to three sets.
Okay.
But yeah.
I mean, yeah, either way.
She's a two-time finalist as well in Australia, isn't she?
Yep. So
she has history.
Exactly.
Grand Slam champion, like, mm-hmm. and still going at 45 years old. She should be the oldest woman to compete in the Australian Open main draw, which is...
Yeah. But if she does win this opening round again, remember that she could potentially face Coco Gauff for round two. So, yeah.
Their third meeting.
Yeah. Before we get to predictions, so if you guys follow us on social, I actually did ask everyone, hey, how about you send us a voice message of your predictions or send us a message of your predictions? We actually did launch this last year, but I wasn't really pushing it. Shout out to Groundpass. When I was a guest pod on theirs, they did play one and it was like a reminder. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I need to. And she did. I did
hear the United Cup.
Yeah, the United Cup experience. Or even the Q&A that they do on their pod as well. They do a lot of interactive stuff there. Shout out to Groundpass. It was like a reminder. I was like, okay, I need to push some people. And luckily, we actually do have a voice message. So, Eugene, I'm going to play the voice message quickly.
Hey, friends. It's Coach Uzo, founder of Onyx Tennis Club. My AL prediction is actually coming from the women's side. I think that our 2025 breakout queen, Vicky Mboko, I think she's poised to make a deep run at this year's tournament. Now, I've been following her kind of, you know, in the tune-up season before AO, and that was she down in Adelaide, just took out the defending Adelaide and defending AO champion in Maddie Keys. And it kind of reminds me of kind of, you know, runs we've seen from similar, you know, players. Like, we saw that Coco, you know, 2023 US Open run, even just thinking back to last season and Naomi being able to make the final of Canada and then go deep at USO right after. And even just last year, we just mentioned Maddie, right, winning Adelaide and then winning AO for, you know, maiden Grand Slam title. So in a similar vein, I see Vicky, who's in great form right now. I see her making a deep run at this year's tournament, and I can't wait to watch and cheer.
Hey. I'm with you. And just like I said, tennis gods, we need that round four with us, Aryna Sabalenka. Give it to us. You heard it, people. Thank you so much for sending your voice message. And guys, if you want to send a voice message for our next pod, we will do a week two pod. Please go to our website, or, you know, if you're a little bit shy, don't want to record your voice, don't worry, we got you. Send us a message. Jessica did, she left a comment. Jessica from Hardcore. Guys, if you're on Substack, yeah, and you don't follow Jessica, I don't know what you're doing. She was already, like, she already broke the news about the Wilson deals, the 360 Wilson deals, and stuff like 2-3 weeks ago. Shout out to her. And I think, oh, I can't remember a comment top of my head, but she said something along the lines like she's just going to freak out about every single result. And I was like, girl, I am with you. So yeah, shout out to Jessica. Shout out to everyone that's been engaging and talking with us. And now I hand it over to you, Eugene Allen.
Ladies first, please.
Boring. All right, cool. I don't have a BSG AO.
That's fine.
I have Yannick Sinner. I think he will be defending his title. I think he looks really comfortable. I was listening to his press conference. He only switched up some things. Obviously, the focus on Sin Caraz and stuff. And
no,
for
no
him.
No warm up event as well. He didn't play any warm up
events. No warm up events, but does he need.
Exhibition.
Does he need one? Exactly. But yeah, considering that, I feel like Alcaraz has a lot more pressure on him with having to reach the calendar slam, with having to, with his whole coach situation, you know, psychologically, that's going to be playing your head a lot with, you know, with just a lot of things. I think that Sinner has it more in him to win this title compared to Alcaraz. In terms of women, I think Sabalenka, honestly. I think last year losing to Keys got to her. I think all the finals that she got last year, I think Sabalenka's going to be a beast this season. She's going to be like, all right, last season you lot took some things away from me. I lost some finals, time to pick this thing up. I think Sabalenka doesn't get enough credit for being such a hard-working player. She is a hustler. She will keep on going. The fact that she reached all types of finals at Grand Slams is absolutely amazing. She is a number one player for a reason. She might say or do certain stuff. I know, guys. I know. But when she's on that court, unfortunately, sometimes I be forgetting. You guys be forgetting what these ATP players be saying and doing and still support them. Exactly. So, yeah, those are the two. But one thing I will add is that I definitely see Mabuko going far as well in the second week for sure. But yeah, those are my two winners. Who do you have, Eugene Allen?
I can't say I like it. I'm not going to lie to you. women, it is tough to look past Sabalenka.
It really is.
World number one and top seed. And yeah, she really won in Brisbane.
Uh-huh.
But Lucy...
Oh,
I feel like we're going to get a new Grand Slam champion. Yeah.
What, in the Australian Open?
Yeah, as in on the women's side.
Oh. You don't have one, but you feel like it's going to be someone else.
I just feel like it, yeah.
Igor?
No.
Okay.
And I don't mean that to like dismiss.
Of course. Yeah. Amanda?
I feel
back in off.
I feel like Amanda's up there, man. Amanda, Elena, we're back in the two. They're like the two I'm looking. I say, to be fair, Rebecca is not a new. She wouldn't be a new Grand Slam champion. She's won Wimbledon. But
yeah.
I feel like it's going to be either. I'm going to go Amanda. You know.
Really? I mean, you said Wimbledon. You said Amanda. She was a finalist.
Yeah, I'm going to go Amanda.
Okay. What about men's?
Men's, again, it's tough to look past Sinner, man. But I feel like Alcaraz is also thinking, hang on a minute. And I know you've already said about like the pressure and like this year as well, it's going to be even more amped up because of the whole coach
feature. Yeah.
But I get Lucy, I feel like he's just too good, man. Honestly, yeah, he's actually just too good.
So you're picking Alcaraz over Sinner?
I feel like Alcaraz is going to be the guy.
Okay.
But in saying that, I'm expecting Felix to make a run. So
okay.
He's like my sneaky outsider.
Okay, basically. Okay, got it, so, got it.
But yeah, right. Alcaraz and Anderson over for me. Can't all right.
All right, well, we shall see, guys. The Australian Open starts on Sunday. Thoughts and prayers for us tennis fans staying up trying to watch the tennis. I'm not really, guys, sorry. I've been waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym because I have a mission to look sexy this year, and that is what it is. So
big birthday coming up, man.
Big birthday, big 30. I'm not, of course, I have no shame. Look at me, 30, skin clear, hair perfect, body great, you know what I mean? But very looking forward to the Australian Open this year. And guys, do not forget to stay locked in with us on socials, Instagram, Twitter. Big up Eugene, who's been doing a lot of the posting and a lot of interacting. He's going to be doing a lot of the staying up more than me. So you got, I'll catch you guys up in the morning. But yeah, guys, we'll be back next week to do a week one review / week two preview of the Australian Open. Peace. And don't forget to send your voice message, guys.
Thanks for that. Much appreciated.